दिव्याद्वृंदरण्यकल्पद्रुमाधा श्रीमान नागर सिंहासनस्था श्री श्री राधा शिल गोविंद देवा पृष्ठालिपि सेव्य मनोस्मरा. This prayer appears in many places within Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is a meditation and a prayer on Sri Radha Govinda Dev, who are sitting on a jeweled throne in a beautiful kunja of Sri Vrindavan Dham, being worshipped with pure unalloyed love by their innumerable associates. Sri Radha Govinda Dev is the personal Ishtadev of Srila Rupa Goswami, and he has been worshipped by Gaudiya Vaishnavas since that very time when he appeared to Sri Rupa Goswami. We see here in Jaipur something quite close to a model community. Every single morning, thousands upon thousands of people come for the Mangal Arati of Sri Radha Govinda. And right now, during the darshan, after they are bathed and decorated, many more times people come. How wonderful it is to see, before 5 o'clock in the morning, literally thousands upon thousands of people from all directions rushing very quickly, filling all the streets to come to offer their lives in devotion to Lord Govinda Dev. Actually, in the Vaishnav culture, the principle is that Krishna should be the center of our lives on every level, within our own personal heart, within our family. We put Krishna in the center of our life by making him priority. Every day to chant his holy names, to speak and to hear his glories. Yat karoshi rasnasi yat shohoshi tadasya. Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we eat, should be an offering to Krishna. In this way we make Krishna the center of our life. As a family, it is recommended that in the most prominent part of the house is a temple of Lord Krishna. And the whole family lives simply for the purpose of making spiritual progress by pleasing Krishna, by showing our love for Krishna. When Krishna and Sri Radharani are the center of our home, according to our acharyas, then our home becomes Vaikuntha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, when he sees his family worshipping the deity in his home, he sees his home transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. Also on the level of community, we see here in Jaipur people from all educational categories, from all income categories, from various castes. They all unite to sing the praises of Radha Govinda every morning and every evening. In fact, you can hear them even now from here. There are thousands of people singing the praises of Radha Govinda. You will say, for the evening aarti, even more people will come. Govinda Dev is the most popular person in this town. And the king who built the temple of Radha Govinda Dev, being a great devotee, specifically built it in such a way that Govinda Dev was the heart of the city. It is a great inspiration. As far as I have personally seen in my travels to many holy places of India, I have not seen anywhere where such large sums of people come every day to worship the deity with such sincere devotion. And somehow, living in cities like Bombay or Pune or other places, we think that Mangal Aarti is for the brahmacharis who live in the temple. But I'm Grihastha. I don't have time for such things. It is not for me to judge, but there is an observance that of all those probably 5 to 10,000 people that come for Mangal Aarti every day, it seems like at least 98% are Grihasthas with wives, husbands, children, and jobs. But somehow or other they come every day. They probably have their own deities in their own homes as well. But still, how auspicious it is in their lives to come together as a community to worship Sri Sri Radha Govinda, to chant together with the Vaishnavas and praise the glories of the Lord. It is a wonderful example for all of us to follow here in Sri Jaipur. Excuse me one second. I would like to speak briefly about the history of these worshipable deities that are today worshipped in Jaipur. We are presently at Sri Radha Govinda Dev Temple. After Maharaj Yudhisthira learned that Krishna had left this world. He and his brothers had no desire to remain. They were ruling the kingdom only on the order of Krishna. Actually, Maharaj Yudhisthira, he had no attachment to the kingdom at all. Personally, he was quite satisfied living in the forest during their exile. And when it appeared there would be an imminent war, Maharaj Yudhisthira was willing to just give everything back to Duryodhana. In the sense that he was willing to just let him have it and not fight. But it was Krishna who told him that this battle must be fought because it is for the purpose of Dharma. And you are Dharmaraj. And after the battle, Yudhisthira Maharaj, out of his inconceivable humility, was thinking that all the hundreds and thousands of people that died and all of the women who are suffering as widows, I must take the blame upon my head. All this sorrow has taken place because of my desire to be king. So he was lamenting bitterly. This is Vaishnava. But Krishna told him that you did it on my order, according to my will. But by Krishna's own divine will, he planned it in such a way that he was not able to pacify Yudhisthira Maharaj. Krishna likes to give his devotee credit. When Krishna revealed the universal form to Arjuna, he showed how he could, within a second, annihilate the Kuru dynasty, the armies of Duryodhana. However, he wanted Arjuna to get the credit. They asked Srila Prabhupada, why didn't Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread the Harinam Sankirtan movement in every town and village in the world himself? And Srila Prabhupada, with such love in his heart, he said, because he wanted to give us the credit. That is the nature of the Lord. He loves to see his devotee glorified. He brought Yudhisthira Maharaj to Kurukshetra, where Bhishma was laying in a bed of arrows. And even while in that most horrible predicament of having 1,000 arrows in his body piercing through the... Bhishma spoke transcendental knowledge to Yudhisthira Maharaj and utterly pacified him, and then left this world in full Krishna consciousness. So Krishna coronated Yudhisthira Maharaj as king, returned to Dwarka. The Lord appears in this world like the sun. The sun is not born in the morning, but it simply comes into our vision. And the disappearance of the Lord from this world is like the setting of the sun when he disappears from our vision. When Yudhisthira Maharaj, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev received the news that Krishna had left, they immediately desired to retire from their kingdom and enter into the forest. Who in this world today could do that? Such power, such wealth, such opulence, to just leave it all behind. For Yudhisthira Maharaj, it wasn't an act of renunciation in the sense that he was giving up something he was attached to. He was only attached to Krishna. He had no attachment for anything else except Krishna and Krishna's service. He established Parikshit Maharaj as the king and also established Vajranab, who was the great grandson of Lord Krishna, as the king of Brajbhumi. Vajranab, his duty was to establish the holy places of Krishna's pastimes, to install deities and temples, to establish the Supreme Personality of Godhead's presence in Vrindavan in such a way that people could see, they could come, they could worship. But it was difficult. Vajranab sat under a kalpavriksha tree on the bank of the Jamuna, and there he prayed to Sri Sri Radhan Krishna to give him the vision and the power to perform his service. Lord Sri Krishna intimately revealed everything to him from within his heart. He gave him vision of his transcendental pastimes in the various parts of Brajbhumi. And he also inspired him to install various deities. Vishwakarma, the architect of the devatas, he personally appeared to help carve many of the deities of Vrindavan under Vajranaba's direction. In this way, although Krishna was in one sense absent from the world, in the deep love of separation, Vajranab revealed Krishna in his personal form in so many places. Four thousand five hundred years later, through the power of time, practically the whole of Brajadham was forgotten. The deities that Vajranab installed were lost, except for a few. And the holy places were just grown over by forests. And people had forgotten where they were. At that time, Krishna personally appeared as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he visited Vrindavan. On the Kartik Purnima, he arrived, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through the 12 forests of Vrindavan. There, he was intimately reunited with his beloved associates, the deers, the parrots, the peacocks, the cows, the calves, the bulls, as well as the Brijabasis. It is said that even the forest animals greeted him with such love and enthusiasm, just like an old loving friend that had been away for many years. It was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's burning desire to reside in Vrindavan. You know, after he took the first initiation from Ishwarapuri in Gaya, immediately he began running to Vrindavan in the night when all of his associates were sleeping. But a voice spoke in the sky and told him that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you have descended for a mission to establish Harinam Sankirtan. So you should return to Navadvip, and there you should lead the Sankirtan movement of the holy names, and later on certainly you will come to Vrindavan. After accepting sannyas in Katwa from Srila Keshav Bharati Maharaj, again Mahaprabhu decided to go to live in Vrindavan. He was running to Vrindavan through the forest with his associates. However, Sri Nityananda Prabhu understood that the Lord's real heart is to please his devotees and perform his mission of compassion in this world. So he brought him to Shantipur. There, Sachi Devi, weeping and crying to see her son with a shaven head and wearing the saffron cloth of a sannyasi, she placed him on her lap and wept incessant tears, even kissing him. And the Lord, he offered repeated obeisances to his mother and said, "I am crazy. What I have done is wrong. You have raised and nourished this body with such love. My body is your property. I had no right to take sannyas, but I have done it. If you so desire, I will remain home with you." But Sachi Mata, although she longed to be in the presence of the Lord, her love was selfless. She knew he had a mission. And for sannyasi to sit home with mother would be a reason for others to criticize her beloved son. Thus she said that the Krishna of Vrindavan is living in Puri as Lord Jagannath. You may live there, because Puri and Navadvipa are like two rooms in the same house. If you are there, I will always be hearing of your beautiful pastimes. This decision was unanimously accepted by all the assembled Vaishnavas. So the Lord made his base in Sri Jagannath Puri. In his first attempt to go to Vrindavan, there were millions of people following him. At Ramakeli, he met Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Anupam. They were very high-posted government ministers under the king, the Nawab Hussain Shah. they were considered as outcasts to the Hindu community because they accepted employment under a Malecha and Yavana king. But they were forced to do so. They really had no choice. If you remember, a few years ago, we visited Ramkeli Gram. Rupan Sanatan Goswami, whose names were Dabir Khas and Shakar Malik, and their brother Anupam, whose name was Sri Ballabha, they had been given such immense fortune. They built beautiful palaces and wonderful gardens which were replicas of Vrindavan. And they would spend their days, as soon as they got out of their government services, in those gardens, just chanting the names of Krishna, meditating on Krishna, worshipping and praying to Krishna. They felt so much ashamed of the service they were rendering to this king that they wrote repeated messages to Lord Chaitanya. Finally, they got an answer where Lord Chaitanya wrote to them, just like a woman who loves another man than her husband, will perform her duties very carefully, for the husband will never suspect her true love. So they understood. They must carry on, do their duties faithfully, but their hearts should never be with what they were doing. It should always be with Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya came to Ramkeli, he came specifically for the purpose of meeting those brothers. Rupa, Sanatan, and Anupam came in the middle of the night with straw between their teeth. With utter humility, they surrendered at his lotus feet. The Lord embraced them, placed his lotus feet on their heads, and accepted them as his own, and told them he wanted them to go to Vrindavan. When Rupan Sanatan and Anupam were meeting Lord Chaitanya, the son of Anupam, Jiva Goswami, was just a very small little boy. He happened to be just a little distance watching this most loving interaction between his father, his uncles, and the Lord under a tamal tree. And it was at that time that he surrendered his life at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Eventually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did go to Vrindavan. When Rupa Goswami got message that the Lord had left, he immediately left all of his government services along with Anupam to go to Vrindavan. It's very wonderful, the chronology of events that took place. Lord Chaitanya spent 2 months in Vrindavan in supreme ecstasy of love. But for the pleasure of his devotees, he left Vrindavan to go to Puri. He had discovered Radha Kund, Sham Kund, Imlital, and some other places of Krishna's Leela. But there was a lot more to be done Just after leaving Vrindavan, he went to Prayag for the Magh Mela. It was there that he met Srila Rupa Goswami. For 10 days, he instructed him on the Dashashwamedha Ghat near the confluence of Jamuna Ganga and Saraswati. The Lord instructed Rupa Goswami, you should go to Vrindavan. And later on, you could come to Jagannath Puri to meet with me. So Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they departed from the Lord's association to carry out his order and began their travel to Vrindavan. Next, the Lord went to Varanasi, where he met with Srila Sanatan Goswami, who had just escaped from prison. The Lord instructed Srila Sanatan Goswami for 2 months in the science of pure devotional service on the bank of the holy river Ganga and sent him to Vrindavan. The orders he gave them was to extract the essence from the revealed scriptures and write literatures that would establish pure devotional service. He wanted those books to be the basis, the foundation of his sampradaya. He told them to live an exemplary life of renunciation, to teach the world the behavior and the etiquette of a true Vaishnava in the renounced order. He wanted them to build temples, to install deities. And to discover and excavate the holy places of Krishna's pastimes. Thus, Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis lived in Vrindavan. For several years, Sri Rupa Goswami, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by his own realization of his inner identity in Goloka Vrindavan, these brothers were able to find these specific exact places where Krishna performed his lila. Such a glorious service that they rendered. However, even after so many years of successfully fulfilling their mission, Srila Rupa Goswami was in very great anxiety. Because according to the scriptures, the prominent deity of Vrindavan was Govinda Dev. And he was not able to find him. He searched everywhere. He was going through forests. He was going to every possible temple. He was even searching the homes of the Brijabasis. But there was absolutely no one that had even the slightest clue of where Govinda Dev may be. After exhausting all possible places, he sat under a tree on the bank of the Jamuna and cried in lamentation. It was at that time that a young boy who was a Brijabasi approached Sri Rupa Goswami. This boy was extremely beautiful in his bodily features. He was very calm, very quiet. Just by seeing him, Rupa Goswami felt some peace. The child asked him, "Why are you lamenting? Oh Goswamiji, you appear to be so sad." Srila Rupa Goswami told him that, "I am here on the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And he wants me to revive the culture of Vrindavan. And for many years I have found the places of Krishna's Leela. But one of the most important aspects of my service is to find the deity of Govinda Dev. I searched everywhere. He's nowhere to be seen. Therefore, I have failed." This little boy smiled and said, "Oh Goswamiji, there's no reason to lament because I know where he is. Just close by, there is a hill called Gomatil. There's a cow, a divine cow from the spiritual world that comes there every single day and lets her milk down, and that milk falls right into the ground. At that very place under the ground, you will find Govinda Dev. Come with me, I will show you." This little Brijavasi cowherd boy took Rupa Goswami by the hand and brought him to Gomatil, which is in the Yoga Peet, the heart of Vrindavan. There Rupa Goswami witnessed this beautiful white cow with lotus eyes, letting her milk fall into the ground. The little boy disappeared, and Sri Rupa Goswami then came to the realization that that little boy was Govinda Dev himself. But he didn't recognize him. Rupa Goswami fell unconscious. He laid there for a very long time. When he came back to consciousness, tears were flowing incessantly from his eyes with great love. Then he sent a message to the local Brijabasis. He personally told them that Govinda Dev is here under the earth on this hill. Come, let us find him. So many, many Brijabasis who loved Rupa Goswami so dearly, they came with their whatever utensils were required to dig in the ground. They all gathered around, and at that moment, Lord Balaramji spoke as a voice in the sky and gave his full blessings for them to dig the ground and assured them that within moments they will be beholding the beautiful darshan of Sri Govinda Dev. The Brijabasis dug, and after just a few minutes, out from the ground appeared the form of Govinda Dev. He was more beautiful than hundreds and thousands, tens and millions of Kandarpas. Sri Rupa Goswami and the residents of Vrindavan, they all looked upon the beautiful form of Sri Govinda Dev with great love. There was hundreds and thousands of people that came to see the beautiful form of Govinda Dev. All of them were weeping in ecstasy. Soon after this, the Brijavasis helped Rupa Goswami to establish the worship of Sri Radha Govinda. Right at the very spot where the cow let down the milk and where Govinda Dev appeared. Sri Rupa Goswami one night had a dream where Brinda Devi, the predominating deity of Vrindavan, appeared to him and told him that she was under the ground near Brahmakund, and that he should come and excavate her and install her in the temple with Govinda Dev. So Sri Rupa Goswami went to Brahmakund, and there he discovered Brinda Devi, who was also installed by Vajranabha over 4,500 years before. Srila Rupa Goswami was so happy. He wanted to share his joy with his beloved Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he sent a letter to Jagannath Puri. In those days, there wasn't postal systems like there is now. You had to find someone who was willing to walk 1,000 miles to give the letter. So one of the devotees of Vrindavan, he took the letter of Sri Rupa Goswami and traveled all the way to Jagannath Puri to personally put it in the lotus hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read this letter that Rupa Goswami discovered Radha Govinda Dev, he was in uncontrollable ecstasy. His limbs were trembling, his hairs were standing on end, tears were flowing through his eyes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to assist Rupa Goswami in the worship of the deity. Why was Lord Chaitanya in so much ecstasy? There are many reasons. In the mood of Srimati Radharani, he understood that Govinda Dev would again be worshipped and served with great love and devotion. And for his preaching mission, he understood that this most wonderful form of Govinda Dev would attract the hearts of millions upon millions of people. One of the associates of Lord Chaitanya was Kashishwar Pandit. Kashishwar Pandit was one of the two personal servants of Srila Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. The two servants was Govinda and Kashishwar. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned from South India, Govinda came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him that myself and Kashishwar, we were ordered by Ishwara Puri before he left this world that we should be your personal servants. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu He spoke to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said that these are my god brothers. Not only my god brothers, but the personal servants of my spiritual master. How can I accept service from them? That is improper. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada in purport explains that it is, as a matter of etiquette, one should not accept service in this from one's godbrothers or godsisters. Accepting service means accepting them as your personal service. Even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sannyasi and they were brahmacharis, he said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that they are worshipable. They are the servants of my Guru Maharaj. What should I do? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, the order of the spiritual master is very strong, it must be obeyed. And he has ordered them to serve you. So you must accept their service. At that time, Kashishwar was touring the holy places. But after some time, he also came as a personal servant of Lord Chaitanya. His body was quite strong. So he utilized that in the Lord's service. Whenever the Lord was dancing in kirtan, he would make sure people would keep a distance and not disturb his dancing. Also, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be going through crowds, he would personally walk in front of the Lord and clear a path for the Lord so that it would be no inconvenience for him. And he was also one of the devotees who was in charge of serving prasad to the other Vaishnavas. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received this letter from Sri Rupa Goswami, he took Kashishwar Pandit to a private, secluded place and told him that, I desire that you go to Vrindavan and you assist Sri Rupa Goswami in worshipping Radha Govinda Dev. Kashishwar Pandit was lamenting bitterly, how can I leave you, my Lord? How will I survive in your absence? Seeing his genuine feelings of love, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented to him a deity of himself. He said, you take this deity with you to Vrindavan. Place him just beside Govinda Dev. This deity is none different than me. Now when you worship the deity, you will see me. When you offer bhoga to the deity, you will see me eating that bhoga. In this way, we will never be separate from one another. The name of that deity is Gaur Govinda. After receiving the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and humbly surrendering to their lotus feet, Kashishwar traveled to Vrindavan and he placed the deity of Gaur Govinda just to the right of Sri Govinda Dev. To this day, here in Jaipur, you will see to the left side of Govinda Dev is Srimati Radharani. To the far right and left is Lalita and Vishakha. And just to the right of the lotus feet of Govinda Dev is a small deity, which is Gaur Govinda, personally given by the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his devotee. It was the first time in the history of our sampradaya that a deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was brought to the western provinces of India to be worshipped. When we were in Karoli, at the temple of Madan Mohan, we discussed the story of Purushottam Jana, who was the son of Maharaj Pratap Rudra. He very much desired that Srimati Radharani be worshipped along with Govinda Dev and Madan Mohan. So with great efforts, he discovered two beautiful deities of Srimati Radharani, and with a glorious procession sent them to Vrindavan. The whole of Vrindavan was so much happy. They arranged a grand festival for the installation of Sri Radhika beside Govinda Dev and Madan Mohan. Just before the festival, the pujari of Madan Mohan had a dream where Srimati Radharani appeared to him and told him that the son of Prataparudra Maharaj, Purushottam, he did not understand. He thinks that both deities are me, but actually the one larger in size is Lalita Sakhi. It is my desire that we both be installed on either side of Sri Madan Mohanji. So there was a great festival at the Madan Mohan temple where Lalita and Sri Radharani were installed. When Purushottam heard about this in Puri, he was very, very happy. But at the same time, he was sad because there was no deity to worship along with Govinda Dev. So he was searching for another deity of Srimati Radharani. He searched for years, but he couldn't find one. So he became very sad. He had a dream. Appearing to him in a dream was a deity of Lakshmi Devi, who was being worshipped for many, many long years in the temple of Lord Jagannath. Lakshmi Devi said that everyone thinks I'm Lakshmi, but they do not know who I really am. I am Srimati Radharani. And you should send me to Vrindavan to be worshipped beside Sri Govinda Dev. The Bhakti Ratnakar tells the story of this deity of Srimati Radharani. In Utkala, Orissa, there was a very, very, very great devotee. His name was Brihad Bhanu. He lived in a place called Radha Nagar. And there he worshipped a deity of Srimati Radharani. He had such a pure heart. He was so genuinely humble and full of love, spontaneous love. He worshipped Srimati Radharani in the mood of his own daughter. Throughout his life, he performed this worship. Then he grew old, and he left this world. And by Srimati Radharani's grace, he was transported directly and immediately to Goloka Vrindavan. The king of Orissa, he heard about this great devotee, and he heard about this beautiful deity of Srimati Radharani. So he went to that place of Radha Nagar, and there he worshipped the deity himself. But he found that there was no pujari. There was no one to take care of the deity. So he was in a great dilemma, because as the king, he was responsible. He had a dream where that deity of Srimati Radharani instructed him that you should take me to Puri and install me in Jagannath's temple. And there you may worship me. So the king had done that. But over the generations, the local people somehow or other began to think that she was Lakshmi Devi. And then it just became the undisputed fact of Puri that this was Lakshmi Devi. And they worshipped. Whoever's in charge of this video, the cloth is right in front of the lens. I don't know if that makes any difference or not. Haribo. From this side it is, maybe from your side it is. Thus, Purushottam Jana, in a entourage of loving devotees, he sent the deity of Srimati Radharani to Vrindavan. And when she arrived, there was a glorious, glorious festival to install her on the left side of Sri Govinda Dev. Sri Sri Radha Govinda Ki Jai. Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, the son of Tapan Mishra, resided in Varanasi with his father and became a very, very dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya personally sent him to Vrindavan to become one of the six Goswamis. Raghunath Bhatt Goswami assisted Sri Rupa Goswami in his devotion to Sri Radha Govinda Dev. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains he worshipped Govinda Dev with such love and devotion. He arranged a beautiful flute to be put in his hand and beautiful earrings shaped like sharks. One of the disciples of Raghunath Bhatt Goswami was the Raj Man Singh, who was a general under the great king Akbar. Under Raghunath Bhatt Goswami's order, Raj Man Singh began the construction of the most beautiful temple of all North India for the pleasure of Radha Govinda. Such a masterpiece of architecture. It was 7 stories high. 100% carved stone. When the temple of Sri Radha Govinda Dev was built, what a glorious festival there was. Just try to imagine what it must have been like in Vrindavan at that time. There was no Loi Bazaar. There was no commercialism. The Jamuna was very deep, crystal clear, fragrant waters with lotus flowers, thick, lush forests, most auspicious trees, kadamba tree, bakula tree, banyan trees, tamal trees, just growing by the hundreds and thousands. really, it was a beautiful, beautiful forest. And such pure-hearted, dedicated souls following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis were living there. And in that environment, there was this glorious masterpiece of a temple of Radha Govinda. And it was brand new in its construction. On the top of the seventh story, they had a large ghee lamp that had an ever-burning flame. Some years later, the King Akbar was no longer, he was quite favorable. It is said that he met Jiva Goswami and was very, very deeply impressed by the philosophy and the culture of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. However, one of his descendants was Aurangzeb, who was cruel and envious, violent and demoniac. From his fort in Agra, it is said that he saw a star that was brighter than all the other stars. And one of his ministers told him, that's the ghee lamp on the top of the Govindadev temple in Vrindavan. He was outraged that a Hindu temple was larger than all other masjids that he had created. So he ordered his armies to go to Vrindavan to desecrate temples, to destroy deities, to persecute, harass, and even kill the Vaishnavas. So as the armies were approaching, at that time here in Jaipur, there was a king named Raj Jai Singh. And he, along with his forefathers, were very, very great devotees of Vrindavan. They worshipped Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and they followed the teachings of the six Goswamis. They would regularly go on pilgrimage to Vrindavan for their spiritual purification. Jai Singh invited the temples of Vrindavan to send their deities with him for protection. There was a procession. The deities of Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Damodar, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madhava of Jayadev Goswami, Radha Vinod of Lokanath Goswami, the deity of Gopal, of Madhavendra Puri. They were all sent to Rajasthan. And the deity of Vrindadevi also. They had them on bullocks. And they had to somehow or other secretly take them out of Vrindavan. First they took them to Radhakund, where they spent short time. Then they took them to Kamyavan. While in Kamyavan, each of the deities stayed in a separate place. Yet when it was time for all of them to go, the procession commenced. But the cart in which Vrindadevi was sitting, it wouldn't move. So they could not understand, what is to be done? We have to get out of here before the Mughal invaders come and destroy them. Brindadevi appeared in a dream to the pujari and told him, Govindadeva is the Lord of the universe. Wherever you take him, he will be the Lord. But I am Brindadevi. I'm only the goddess of Vrindavan, nowhere else. So you should not take me out of Vrindavan. So she remained in Kamyaban, where she is the predominating deity to this very day. Sri Govindadeva was brought here. Jai Singh, they constructed walls around the whole city, and it became known as Jaipur. And Govindadeva was his personal Ishtadeva. You'll see, there is the palace of the king. And just in the very heart of the garden of the king is the deity of Govindadeva. He installed the deity in a place where the king, when he first wakes up every morning, he could look out the window and have darshan. He put the deity in the very heart, the center of the whole city. He gave his life and soul to protect and to worship that deity and to encourage the entire kingdom to take shelter and surrender to the deity. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one has no right to be a mother, a father, a teacher, or a king, unless they can train their dependents in such a way that they never have to take birth again in this material world. There are not too many kings or government leaders that are living by this principle anymore. But Jai Singh was such a king. Royal, opulent worship of Sri Radha Govindadeva. And after Aurangzeb died and the dangers in Vrindavan were less, the Brijavasis wanted to bring Radha Govindadeva, Radha Madan Mohan back. But by that time, there were millions of people worshipping them with love and devotion here in Jaipur. He had captured their hearts. So in Vrindavan, they installed what is called the Pratibhu Murti, where it is absolutely non-different from the original Murti, but at the same time, it is a new Murti. And Govindadeva remains here to this very day. And we are so very, very fortunate to be here to worship them today. Govindadeva is the Abhideya Murti. Sri Rupa Goswami, through his worship of Radha Govindadeva, teaches us the science of how to render active service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead with great attachment. Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, is not just an armchair speculative theology or philosophy. It is a way of life. Jnana vijnana triptatma. What we learn philosophically, unless we apply to our life, there will be no realization. Bhakti means service. Sri Rupa Goswami explained the principle of yukta vairagya. that whatever talents or propensities we have, whatever may exist that can be offered favorably to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, should not be rejected as material, but it should be utilized. Srila Prabhupada explained that this microphone, he said, if you are speaking something of this material world in the microphone, that it is just dead matter. But if you speak the glories of the Lord through the microphone, then the light microphone becomes spiritualized by the power of bhakti. So we worship Govinda Dev with the prayer that our body, our mind, our words, our very life, everything can be utilized in full in the loving service of his devotees, of the spiritual masters, and ultimately in the service of his, of Srimati Radharani and Lord Govinda Dev. When devotees pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is for the welfare of other living beings. It is for our own spiritual purification. We pray that we can genuinely be surrendered souls, humble souls, who live and die immersed in an ocean of remembrance of the Lord. We should pray that we can become more attached to anything else in all of creation, to the chanting of his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Would you like to have prasad now? We can, Should we break now? We will discuss Radha Gopinath, Radha Damodar, and Radha Vinod after breakfast prasad.